Everybody, happy Friday, March 27th. What an awesome week. Thank you guys for joining me. It's 8 o'clock and we're happy to be here on UCY. We are here now Monday through Friday, same time. We've got lots of shows full of information for you. I would like to bring your attention also to theantimedia.org. Lots of awesome websites give you news. But how many cover it so vastly? There's so many different articles you guys can check out. I want to go over a few of them this evening. Also, I've been doing a lot of research about menstruation and specifically female masturbation. And I wanted to do the show this evening specifically on those two topics and relate them to societal issues. I know it seems vague, but trust me, they're connected. But I'm still working on it, but I'm hoping to talk a little bit about it at the end of the program tonight, depending on how much of this news action we get covered here. Hope you guys are checking up with the site and keeping up to date with what's going on in the world. Lots of things posted today. I'm trying to figure out where to begin. I'm definitely interested in talking about, So yesterday there's an article that's really interesting, about DE agents having sex parties with prostitutes. I swear we live in backwards land, but the first thing I want to talk about, let's see here. So many good things, you guys. So let's start here with this article here. Bad for business. Monsanto asks World Health Organization to retract CancerLink. So it's getting about that time of year again when the March of Monsanto is globally acted upon. People leave their homes, they leave from their little devices of intrigue and thought provocation, and they go outside with handmade signs sharing messages of compassion and intriguing ideas in regards to our rights. And a lot of people are upset because they're realizing that Monsanto is a conglomerate and they have no interest in health nor feeding the world. These are the same people who sprayed chemicals during the war, and these are the same people who don't feed their own food to their employees. And these are the same people whose products are getting banned all over the world, and study after study demonstrate that eating this food, although the cause, you know, in their minds and that what they keep to perpetuate is that it's righteous, cool story, but is it healthy? And I think that's one of the major problems in backwards land, is that we're so quick, and I was thinking about this today while driving around, we're so quick to produce things, but we don't consider the effects. Instead, we just want to capitalize on things. So Anthony Guicciardi, pardon me if I butchered your name, buddy, wrote this article, and it was originally posted by Natural Society here, But just days after the World Health Organization's International Agency for Research on Cancer released a report publicly declaring the well-known link between Monsanto's Roundup herbicide and cancer, cancer, the GMO Levithin is already calling on the entire agency to issue a retraction. Recently, Monsanto's Roundup herbicide, the most widely used and best-selling herbicide in the US and one of the world's most popular weed killers, has been labeled a probable carcinogen by the International Agency for Research on Cancer. Interesting. Now, Monsanto is fighting that assessment. So The Lancet reports that in March 2015, 17 excerpts from 11 countries met at the International Agency for Research on Cancer to access the carcinogenicity, that's a fun word, of the organophosphate pesticides tetrachlorovinfos, parathion, malathion, diazon, and glyphosate. Excuse me, guys. I'm just not trying hard right now. These assessments, I mean, those aren't even real words for crying out loud. You can't, like, come on, come on. These assessments will be published as volume 112 of the IRA. Oh my gosh, whatever, that word. Instead of deciding to make the product safer, which is more important, or even delving into the realm of conclusions from the scientists that Roundup is probably carcinogenic, which means cancer-causing to humans, Monsanto instead stated that they question the assessment. "We question the quality of the assessment," the vice president of global regulatory affairs for Monsanto, Philip Miller, stated in an interview. The WHO has something to explain. I think Monsanto has something to explain, and so do many scientific experts around the globe. And I think that's what everybody wants. We just want to have a choice. It's cool if you want to make this food and contaminate all the farms of the world and eventually wipe out all array of crops because you'll essentially mutate everything. But no big deal. And not knowing the harmful effects of this, no big deal. We understand that you want to sell everybody things that need to have your other products so that they rely solely on you. No big deal. But other people are not okay with that. I mean, there's enough people now who want a choice, and I think that's not unrealistic to understand why people would desire that. I mean, if we don't know the cause, if we don't know the effect, excuse me, if we don't know the effect of eating such things, I don't know if we should be doing it, especially when a lot of studies suggest that it's not beneficial to our biology. So I'll continue here. There are a number of independent published manuscripts that clearly indicate that glyphosate can promote cancer and tumor growth, said Dave Schubert from the Cellular Neurobiology Laboratory at the Salk Institute for Biological Studies in La Jolla, California. "It should be banned," he said. And numerous past studies have proposed what most of us have already surmised, that glyphosate, the main ingredient in Monsanto's Roundup, is utterly killing us. Is that supposed to say literally? What more, it's causing damage in much smaller servings than the agricultural industry is dishing out in its common GMO and pesticide spraying practices. With the already existing plethora of research pointing towards Roundup's dangers, as well as this most recent assessment from the WHO, I think we have reason enough to find a better way to stop weeds. That's a very, very good argument. There are natural ways to deter weeds from growing in your garden. Something that I'm really excited to share with you guys. You guys know I'm an organic gardener. I have been for a while. I have literally branched out. Last week, Liam and I were talking about food forest. And the following day on Saturday, I went to go look at a property local here on top of a mountain, very central in the city. with a tremendous amount of space and exposure, which is really cool. Also, their neighbor has a chicken coop with a chicken run that goes all around the property, and they are producing food as well. But I've got the opportunity to practice what Liam and I were discussing. And if you missed the show, check out the archive on UCY.TV. It was a good program, you guys. I'm really excited because we get to literally build the food forest. And I'm most thrilled about the aspect of perpetuating this idea of self-sustaining, especially because the people there in this neighborhood are typically very supportive of one another. And I feel like if we just get one or two gardens growing, and this guy's got an awesome front yard with a lot of visibility, and I want to cover it in beautiful climbing vines and companion plants. And that's my point is if you plant certain things with other things, they can nourish each other and work together. So we're going to utilize that and have a chemical pesticide-free garden that is vast, abundant, ridiculously beautiful, and completely self-sustaining in the sense that everything works in unison with it's kinetic, basically. Everything works together. And we're simply going to achieve this by mimicking Mother Nature, which already knows what it's doing. Interestingly enough, in Backwards Land, things go wrong when we put too many cooks in the kitchen, to say the least. And that idea for a catalyst for destruction can be reflected across all aspects in regards to our function. We try too hard sometimes, and we don't exactly succeed. Like, I work in the holistic health field. I'm almost a level six. Woo! In October, I'll be a level six. And I did study allopathic medicine for a year. I literally am in debt. I give the government freaking 30% of everything I earn every month. Because I had to know in my mind, like, what I had to infiltrate, basically. You know, what do people who study allopathic medicine learn? And it saddens me to know from experience that you learn about drugs and you learn about diseases. So you learn about the effects and the components of drugs, and you learn about diseases. Malfunction. So you learn about a problem and then you learn about a fake ass way to cover it up. And that's all it is. That's all drugs are, is like they're a band-aid. They're not always a cure. And my point in my previous statement of too much involvement equals chaos is in the sense that I think the intention of the pharmaceutical company originally was to capitalize on the already existing concoctions that people were utilizing in regards to healing. We were simply taking what we needed from the earth and combining it with our ancient knowledge and old world ideas passed down from our ancestors, proven to work remedies, and applying them to whatever ail It, that which was ailing us, and it worked for a really long time. And then somebody came along and said, "Wait a minute, we should be regulating this for your safety." Oh, wait a minute, we should be blah 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 blah. And then we get like all these ridiculous side effects. I'm sorry, but no, you shouldn't. The body is about balance, and I feel like a lot of the times people get sick because there's an imbalance. Disease is an imbalance. We're getting a call here, guys. Let's see who's calling us. Let me push the right button this time. Here we go. This is LaVon. How's it going?
And how you doing?
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. What's your name?
My name is Byron. I'm
How
in
are you
Cleveland,
doing,
Ohio.
Byron?
I'm doing pretty good.
Where are you from?
I'm in Cleveland, Ohio.
Ohio. What's going on in Ohio?
I mean, to me, it was like, you know, a lot of changes. We're supposed to have the Republican convention here next summer. So, you know, a lot of changes as far as, you know, the way our city is laid out. I'm not optimistic.
Why are you not optimistic? What's going on?
We have a square here. Well, we had a square in the city. All of our public transportation, pretty much all of the public transportation, traveled around that square, and that's gonna be changed. Now, you know, public transportation has changed in our city. It feels like a bottleneck. Where it used to be an open space, now it's like a bottleneck. Oh. It's a little more difficult to get around.
Well, that could really put a hindrance on a lot of people's daily function. And like, it sounds like you're emotional.
No, I mean, you know, it's like you have a, let's say like earlier this year, we had protests and different things that I thought were effective in bringing attention to certain things without a lot of violence, without a, you know, just upset some traffic patterns. And with this new construction, you know, it's going to make that a whole lot more difficult. You know, it's going to make it, I think it makes it convenient for law enforcement.
So,
you know, if you...
I'm sure you're not the only person who feels this way.
I mean, I think I'm the paranoid person who sees it in a, you know, a crowd control strategic sense. I don't think everyone else is seeing it as that. I think it's draped in the ideas of, you know, every, you know, business coming to the city and other things. But I'm like, you know, you no longer, you know, it's just a bottleneck. If the authorities decided they wanted to take IDs or they wanted to, search you, it's a lot easier now. It's a lot easier to control large groups of people.
Well, you got to think about strategy, you know. And I don't think being aware. See, part of the problem in our society, friend, is that we misuse our words a lot. I think people misunderstand each other tremendously because our language has lost a lot of its origins and it's been altered so much. Like the sounds I'm making right now to communicate with you are not the way I wish we could talk. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I feel like it's lacking. And you used the word paranoid earlier. And I would just like to point out to you that sometimes what people think is quote-unquote paranoid is awareness. Some people are aware things that others
are difficult
not.
It's difficult to, you know, it's logic. It looks, you know, as a person who will be, you know, on the receiving end of some of these things, if everything goes wrong, no one else is really thinking in this fashion. I'm like, I think people at the top, you know, thinking worst case scenarios, you know, and in worst case scenarios, they plan, they prepare, you know.
Well,
but
what do you suggest?
I mean, I think like the political climate, just the climate in this country. And you have a Republican convention in a really blue city.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of people who will, you know, next summer is possibly going to be much worse than this summer. You know, so you're going to have protests. You're going to have a lot of unsatisfied people.
Well,
you have a high concentration.
There are peaceful ways to do things. And the reason I talk on Friday nights about personal empowerment is because that is the only way to win. Think about when you're in a heated argument with somebody, okay? I'm gonna give you listen, I'm gonna give you some ninja skills today, okay?
Okay.
So I was partially involved in an accident today. Like inadvertently. Like I'm literally sitting at a light, ready to turn left, and there's a person going east. And then he has a green light, okay? And I'm facing north. And then there's a person going west who wants to turn left, okay? And he does not have a green light, but he proceeds to go. And he turns, he does magic, okay? Like, I saw Transformer today, bro. I saw a Mustang go go from a Mustang into a smart car. And I was like, whoa, that's amazing. And it happened like that. It happened like that, like right in front of me. And then their cars like exploded in front of me. And then one of them hit me. But I was just like, whoa. I got out of the car and I don't know why. I just felt compelled to like freaking record a video on my Instagram. I just happened to have it open and I was like, woo. But I realized in my mind real quick, I need to set the tone. So I said, everybody, we're going to be calm. I made an announcement. We are not going to be angry and we're going to take care of each other. I said that. And everyone just kind of looked at me like, okay. And I went and checked on everyone like a boss. You know what I mean? I'm like, are you okay? How are you breathing? Let me check your pulse, blah, blah, blah. And everyone was just super mellow. Have you ever seen people get an accident and they just start
Flip all the
barking
time,
at
right?
each other? What the hell? Like, no. The only way to win is to literally be a ninja. And like, I'm struggling with this, and I realize the more feelings you have for somebody, the harder it is to remain calm. So then you just like literally you have to like bite your lips closed and just blink. And instead of saying words, you just blink as fast as you can, and they'll be so perplexed that they'll just chill out too. That's a super ninja trick too.
All right, I will try
You just
that.
like seriously like curl your lips under and you like
Yeah.
bite, you know? Bite and then you
Yeah.
just start blinking like you're trying to fly
That
away.
calmed me down too. But I try not to get emotional. I try to talk to people who understand, what I'm saying.
Here's
But
a oh dude, here's a pro tip from this week, not to cut you off. You just reminded me of
yeah.
something. Like, I realized that one of the hardest things for people to say is, I need help. And a lot of times
Yeah.
when people are like acting out or being ridiculous, they literally say the opposite of what they want. Because we live in backwards land and that's what we were taught. But you know what? We've got someone on hold really quick.
Okay.
I just want to let you know, let's see here. 858, I am gonna get to you in just a moment, okay? Don't you go anywhere. I don't know if I can add you. I don't know if I can add that many people onto this call. Anyways, anything else you want to talk about, buddy?
No,
Besides
that's it. That's
zinning out?
just I'm grateful. I'm still grateful for, the little peaceful time. I know everybody's catching hell, but I'm still grateful for
And you can
what we still have.
create peace anytime you want in your heart. And
I shoot too.
did you know that you're an electromagnetic being and that
Oh yeah, I understand.
your force field is about fit can be felt for 15 feet. So imagine if you have love in your heart and you're thinking lovely thoughts, you're gonna touch people 15 feet radius around you, bro. So you can be a positive change everywhere you go based on what you're thinking, what you're feeling. That's truth and that's power, dude.
All right. You have a good night.
You too. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
858. Hello.
Hey, is this LaVon?
Oh my gosh, you are such a sweetheart. You waited so long to talk. I appreciate it.
No, it's okay. This is Donna from Occupy San Diego.
What's going on, girlfriend?
Hey, what's on? I just saw that you're getting some news and what's up, and I do want to tell you thank you so much for spreading information about how being the change involves becoming peaceful and generating that around you, because it is just very chaotic out there, and
It is.
that negative thing going, it's hard to stop that ball from rolling, and keeping it calm is that was excellent. I love how you explained how you did that.
Yeah, you got to set the tone. And listen, none of us know what we're doing, right? We're all walking around all day, like awkwardly avoiding each other's gazes. And I'm not, though. I'm the creeper, like looking everyone in the eyes, like, hey, what's going on? Like reminding them that they're alive. But
Oh yeah.
I ponder, like,
Yeah.
what happened? When did we lose our humanity? Like, when I was growing up, everybody talked to each other.
Right. Well, it happened when people became more focused on technology, and since then interpersonal skills have definitely depleted. But I'm with you there. I'm homeless basically on the streets. I've been in PB for a couple months, and honestly, being on the streets, not having a box or a screen to confine you is actually very freeing. People do talk on the streets. I mean, everything is about communication and community, and it's like a family out there. So it's actually ironic that when people get out of the box and away from the screen,
free,
the humanity is still out there, but now they're starting to give phones to all the homeless. So I'm wondering how that's going to affect people. But thank you for that. I did want to actually bring up something quite important regarding the homeless situation in PB, if you don't mind.
No, please share with us what's actually going on out in the world there.
I started giving like updates on news, and this has actually been quite concerning to me all week. So if you don't mind, to get this information out, tonight, just FYI, there are officers conducting sting operations on Garnett and around PB. They're going up to homeless people and others, but it just particularly breaks my heart that they're approaching homeless people and asking them to buy alcohol for their friend who's, it's her 20th birthday. And come on, it's her 20th birthday. Please buy us some alcohol. Well, you can have all the change. And so they are using this as a way to get homeless people to buy alcohol for underage people, tempting them with change. But luckily, the man I was standing with did not go for it.
That's horrible.
Well,
pisses me off. Like, I'm prepared to drive down there and be like, what's going on here? That's not okay.
Yeah, the other thing is actually more concerning, but on the way down to where I was standing with these guys, I saw an undercover girl in a T-shirt sitting in a police car, and there was a guy in handcuffs in the back, and it looked like his girlfriend was on the outside, totally like wondering what to do. She definitely looked like someone that would be used for a sting, but then we saw her later talking to a police officer discussing what to do about the sting. So the same girl. So they're definitely out tonight, but it's very, very deceptive. So I particularly take offense to the fact that they are approaching homeless people and tempting them with change. But the worst thing that happened is a few days ago, there are a couple guys going around in the PB area, and they are holding out an Altoid box. And they're telling people it's the best acid they'll ever take, but it is apparently some kind of weird drug no one can identify. They're giving it to homeless people. They're giving it to traveling kids. They're handing it out for free. And the part that scared me is they gave it to someone I know. He was then arrested the next day, brought down to the jail. I was the one who picked him up. He said he had lost large chunks of time, and when he woke up, he had been in an observation room for an extremely long time. This guy's been in jail many, many times, but he says he has never been under observation that long. So I basically am wondering what is going on in Pacific Beach. The police are very corrupt here today and this week, actually, but the fact that they might be giving drugs to people and testing them later to find out what they do is extremely concerning. I wanted to get that out as quickly as possible. Thank you so much for letting me say that here. So if people could just, people with an Altoids box, it could be something new, but guys are giving out something they say is the best acid ever, but it messes people up. One girl has been having seizures. Another guy was up for 3 days. He said it was like the worst 3 days of his life. My friend, it started out kind of okay for my friend. He was very aware, but then it turned into a nightmare. It lasted 2 days. He was out of his mind on the street. And he said he cannot identify what it was. So I don't know really what it was either. Well, but
that kind of brings up a perfect segue into my next topic. Even though that's pretty horrible that, you know, and I don't put it past the cops. You know, they constantly harass homeless people, and it's disgusting. Like, these poor people are neglected aspects of society, and they should be loved and taken care of. Like, there are other versions of me. There are other versions of you. You are me, and, like, I'm sorry that you're out in the streets as well, and I hope that people reach out and help you and do what they can within our community And I want to make sure you get my phone number, and I want to talk to you later and see if there's anything I can do to help you.
Okay. You can, you have, if you've got, do you have my whole number there? You can just text me later, LaVon.
Yeah,
but,
I can. I see it. The 858. I got it right here. So.
Okay. Yeah, you can text me later what you want. Just FYI, honestly, the homeless are free. That's why they're attacked. You know, it's ironic because they're really under focus because the homeless industrial complex is big money for every city. But the homeless, basically, they live a free existence that is not part of the system. They try to get them into the system, and that is the dangerous idea, is that the homeless are actually free.
No, you're right. Donna, you bring up a really good point, because every day when I have to leave my baby with my girlfriend so that I can go to my job, and don't get me wrong, I love my job. I work in the community, and I get to help people be their best. And I'm a facilitator of health and wellness, and that is awesome. I love it. But there's still a pain in my heart when I have to go to work to make money to survive, to pay to live in the place where I emerged without my free will. Why
that's what I'm talking
to pay to exist? That is not living.
Yeah, well, who thought of that system? You know, that's why I occupy Wall Street. The banksters thought of this a long time ago. They developed a plan that would enslave everyone in a box. Now we've got a screen. Everybody's kind of trapped in there. But why is there only one system? One system to rule them all? I mean, it is obviously not real life. I mean, it's not anything real. I mean, I'm outside all the time. I'm at the beach right now. It's gorgeous. The people out in the night air with the stars and the crickets and everything, people were meant to be
people
outside.
Being people, man. That's awesome. Like, I mean, shelter's wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I love shelter. But have you heard of earthing, Donna?
Pardon?
Have you heard of earthing?
You know, a lot of people use that word in different ways. What do you mean by it?
Well, earthing is basically tuning into the earth. And there are lots of studies that suggest that being barefoot and literally connecting to the earth is so beneficial to your being.
Right,
it's
right.
Another word for it is like grounding, you know, like walking on the earth with your bare feet.
Yeah, that's what I do all day long. In fact, that this morning, it, just as an example, people can try this if they're trying to have a segue maybe from the box, the screen, the technology that literally is, you know, our phones. We're holding a remote control to the electric grid in our hands. People don't get this. When the previous caller was on, and I forget what he was saying, but it was something about something that made me think of the fact that people are not really aware that they are connected to an electric fence that they hold the remote control to. But for instance, this morning at the beach, I woke up, I walked the whole beach barefoot, doing a meditation, always with your feet in the earth, digging your feet into the sand. We're always connected like that. We need to stay connected to earthly things. One of the reasons we went into Vietnam was to get rubber. All of our shoes have rubber on the bottom, and no one stopped to realize that that creates a closed circuit.
Exactly.
Any kind of electronics. It doesn't disperse any of our electromagnetic frequency, and it certainly keeps everything we're taking in affecting us, which is why we're seeing a lot of diseases related to the central nervous system. But people could think that that's, you know, you can research it. So
honestly, you brought up something really close to my heart, Donna. Like, my job's all about removing nerve interference, because I think that the body practices homeostasis. And the brain is a supercomputer. It's a transmitter, and it receives energy and not only energy but vibrations from the earth, and it sends them via our nervous system to every aspect of us, every cell of us, every little soldier fighting for our wellness communicates to our brain via this network. And most of the toxins in our food attack the protectant of these nerves, and it causes a dysfunction in our electrical function, and That's the basis of our existence on a cellular level. Our cells throw light at one another. And it's magnificent if people could only know what they were and how they function. Like, it is very important. It is very important.
You know, I'm right on board with you there. I couldn't agree with you more. As a person who was born awake, I've never understood why people didn't feel that they were connected to everything. Certainly, there are many people who do. I mean, no matter how much anyone tries, everything we see is all connected. We are one intricately connected system that cannot be disconnected. So as people try to disconnect themselves, they're actually pulling away and creating unnatural situations. But thank you for all the work you do. I don't want to talk too long. I know you've probably got other things to talk about me.
I don't mind talking to you. It's fine. I was going to segue into this next topic, and maybe you can give your perspective. There was an article published in the Antimedia on the 26th, which was yesterday, and it's titled Propaganda Debunks Psychedelics Not Linked to Psychosis. It actually may do the opposite. We talk about opposite land, right? It may help prevent it, Donna. So why?
I retweeted that when I saw it, and I think I definitely like that.
So I want to read it to the people, okay? And then we'll talk about it, okay? So Josh Paniga, I'm sorry, I'm really bad at butchering names, or I'm really good at it, anyway. So he says, since the 60s, a common misconception about psychedelic drugs has infiltrated the public eye. Horror stories about young teens taking LSD and jumping to their death and anti-drug propaganda have created a distorted link between psychedelic drugs and psychosis. However, two researchers in Norway suggest that this belief is indeed false. Donna, I'm going to need you to keep the noise down a little. Okay?
Should I put you on mute? I'm just by the beach.
I'm getting a lot of feedback. I'm not sure if it's me or you.
I'm in a mute right now.
Okay, lady. So Terry Suzanne Krebs of the Norwegian University of Science and Technology in Trondheim analyzed the data collected from the U.S. National Survey on Drug Use and Health. Of the 135,000 plus people that participated in the survey, approximately 14% of them confirmed that they had used psychedelic substances, in this case LSD, psilocybin or mescaline, at some point in their lives. Johansson and Krebs found that there isn't a legitimate correlation between psychedelic drugs and mental health complications. In fact, not only was there no proof of causation, the data also suggests that psychedelics may have been involved in lowering the rate of psychosis. The full publication can be read here, and there's a link, guys, on their website. This shouldn't come as a surprise to some, considering how many significant discoveries have been made involving psychedelics in the medical field. In addition to researchers finding that psychedelic drugs may be highly effective in psychotherapy, they're also finding that they're effective in treating some chronic illnesses. Yesterday, I think I read about them being able to treat diabetes or with ayahuasca, which is awesome. I'm going to get my dad some ayahuasca stat. No joke. Anyways, a Bob named Bob Wold is a strong advocate for psychedelic medicine, and for good reason. Bob suffers from cluster headaches or suicide headaches. I've heard of this. For those not familiar with this condition, cluster headaches are reoccurring headaches that cause excruciating pain, usually on one side of the head, and can leave a person completely inhibited from anywhere to 15 minutes to 3 hours. Bob had tried around 70 different medications for his condition. None of them worked. But after he discovered that LSD sent his CH attacks into remission, he founded Cluster Busters. Oh, that's clever. It's an organization dedicated to helping patients with cluster headaches. Of course, a potential downside to the actual psychedelic aspect. Some people simply do not like drugs, but love living without an ice pack. I'm sorry, without an ice pick in their skull. Nonetheless, this isn't a problem either. Cluster busters Cluster Busters. There's a tongue twister there. Contacted Dr. John Halbern, assistant professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School for clinical trials. Although Halbern agreed obtaining LSD for a study would obviously prove to be difficult, instead Halbern took his research to Germany and used non-hallucinogenic 2-bromo-LSD on the subjects. Non-hallucinogenic 2-bromo-LSD has very similar chemical structure to LSD. However, the hallucinogenic effects are not felt. Sure enough, the treatment worked. The same results have been found in CH patients with psilocybin or magic mushrooms. I don't know how to say that word. It happens. A life-ruining disease put into remission by hallucinogenics drugs. Go figure. So that's a new article we published. That's pretty much anti-backwards land. Is it, Donna? Wouldn't you agree that most of the things we've been told are backwards?
Well, first of all, are you still getting the feedback that you had before?
No.
Okay, great. Because I am right by the ocean. Okay, my initial reaction to that would be that it reminded me when you read it that I had read an article a while back about how our bodies are covered with all kinds of bacteria and fungus and all this stuff that we aren't aware of, like millions and millions of all this stuff, but that the scientists had actually found out that we do things because of these bacteria and fungus that are living on us. An example would be that the fungus requires darkness to grow. So it might affect a person, what they do with their actions. I don't know how the fungus actually does this, but it's a symbiotic relationship, in other words, between these different fungi and bacteria and their human hosts. So conversely, I would say that psychedelics obviously are adapting somehow and using the human body in their own way, so to speak.
That's very interesting. I think that holds a lot of truth.
If it's alive, if it's alive, like if you're eating,
everything's
like,
alive. Everything is alive.
Right. So I think, though, that the psychedelics definitely have fallen prey to the fact that these are natural items that are found on the planet, and they do things that humans seem to like. It's well known that deer seek out fermented berries, and many animals seek out fermented fruit.
Which is very beneficial to the flora and the gut. And your immune system exists primarily in your belly. That's your first defense. You know, from your mouth to your anus is like, you know, where you're very vulnerable. So you want everything in there to be on point. And fermented foods have certain bacteria that promote that well-being of that system. So, yeah, I was telling my girlfriend today that, you know, she's struggling with being okay with liking alcohol because someone told her it was bad. And I was telling her all the health benefits of beer and how there's a lot of protein and the importance of having fermented foods in the diet. And people don't know those things. They just, you know, they think, oh, it's toxic, it's bad, but things in moderation are good.
Right, and even I read recently, maybe you heard this too, that there was an article saying that dolphins actually seek out pufferfish because they get high off of them. So the idea that we are using, pardon?
Oh, dolphins are brilliant. I believe that. We have sex for pleasure. The only other creature that has sex for pleasure are the dolphins. So
awesome.
They know what's up. They don't just do it to produce. They have fun. Dolphins know what's up. End of story.
Yeah, really. So to the gist of the psychedelics and what they do, it's pretty clear right now that there's a huge disinformation campaign going on about drugs and what their use is. They obviously don't like natural drugs because those possibly would be more beneficial to humans, I would say. They're already here on the planet. We're all connected. It's a natural substance like mushrooms, peyote, cannabis, and even opium. You know, all these things are natural things that react better in the body than other things. But the psychedelics especially are mind-expanding. They take people to different, like you said something earlier about about paranoia possibly being just increased awareness. I applaud you on that. That is, you know, kudos for trying to get that out, because calling people paranoid and they're conspiracy theorists is a way of dismissing the fact that people are trying to be aware to what is going on.
That's a perception. Think of artists. Like, artists literally see things that other people can't. How come we don't call them paranoid or crazy? Well, some of them are crazy. Well, most of them are crazy, quote unquote. But that's a word. You know what I mean? And why is it bad, though?
There is no crazy. There is no crazy.
Everybody's crazy. Well, everybody's a different degree of crazy. And everybody's got a crazy crew. And however you like to be, in what kind of crazy is attractive to you will attract your crazy type of people you enjoy, too. You know what I mean? So
but why does it have to be called crazy, LaVon? Why is it? Couldn't it just be diversity? Why is it
beautiful? And that's why I told my friend earlier, he's having this fear of being attacked in his home, that he could create peace within him. And I told him, like, dude, I know it's hard. Like, for me, it's the hardest thing is when I'm closest to somebody. Like, when I care about them, it's so hard to control your emotions, you know? Because your heart space, like, feels a certain way about them. But that's how you win every time.
Right. And I think more people are realizing that, and that's really awesome.
And it's really powerful. It's really powerful when you're upset and someone's being chill, because it brings you back down to reality, and quicker, you realize, whoa, I'm being ridiculous, or wow, I really honor the way they're being. And even if you're mad, you recognize it, you know? And then you guys can be humans again. And it's so, and like, I think we have to excuse each other for feeling emotions. I think our society has effed up in the sense that we're not allowed to let things move through us. We're supposed to let them happen and then brush them off or forget them. Excuse me, that's not healthy. You're supposed to feel things, analyze them, ponder them, revel in them, then, you know, dissect them, then be objective with them, and then apply them, maybe or maybe not, depending. And then you let it go. There's a process, you know what I mean? And how you're feeling in that process should not be judged, because everybody feels and experiences this reality in a very specific subjective way. And we need to look at people as other us's. And I want to tell you something. The reason that psychedelics are bad is because you realize that everybody is you. And if you have that awareness that, holy shit, that man sleeping on the freaking ground out in the freaking cold who fought a war, you know, however many years ago, forgotten by his freaking society, that's me. And I'm never going to be the best me because he's laying there cold at night hungry.
Right.
No, imagine if everybody stopped judging everybody.
Well, yeah, and actually that is a really good point, because really people should realize that what they criticize in others, people are just a mirror for each other.
Girlfriend. Yes. That's powerful.
Yeah.
It's powerful. Can I tell you a story?
Sure.
The other day, my little sister sent me a message, and she was being so rude. And I was literally 2 minutes from giving a presentation, a health talk in the community, to a group of people. And I had to be in a really good mood, and I had to have in my heart space peace, because I was about to talk to them about my passion and how they could be healthy. And my sister said some horrible, rude things to me. And, you know, I responded with a catty remark in regards to manners. I was like, you're being rude. You need to learn manners. And then I stopped for a second before I got upset, and I thought about it. And I said, she's attacking me because hurt people hurt others. and I'm the only one that she can think of having power over right now. So I'm going to come at her a different way, and I'm going to say, listen, I see that you're in a moment of distress, and instead of judging you, I want you to know that I'm here to help you, and I know you're obviously upset about something, and I'm not going to take anything you say personally, and if you need to talk to me, I'm here. Instead of being offended by what she said for very long, I quickly turned it around, and I said that to her. She came to my house later that day, and she hugged me crying, apologizing, saying, I thank you so much. Just you saying that brought me to such a moment of peace. Just that you acknowledged how I was feeling. Because people don't know how to say I need help. That's the hardest thing to say, I think. Hey, I'm struggling. Because we haven't been taught as a society that it's okay to be vulnerable.
Well, you know, on the other hand, though, too, I'm going to just tell you that, like, you know, if I'm in a situation where I've needed help for a long time, and I've asked and asked and asked, but everyone's too busy or no one gets around to it. And, I mean, I've really needed help because I have a permanent spinal injury. I'm homeless. And actually, I just went through a situation, short story, where I had to move everything from one storage unit to another to avoid water damage. And, There was also a couple other problems. These guys were blocking my storage, and I could never get into it. And they were smoking two doors down, and all the smoke was getting in my unit and making things smell. So I took it upon myself to move everything. It took 3 weeks to move it, and then I went to the manager to turn in the lock for the other storage unit and say I was all moved. And basically, she got in this huge fight with me. She doesn't like me, and she's always had a problem with me. And after I did that, all by myself, with a permanent spinal injury, she gave me a 30-day notice to leave the storage unit. Now, I don't think anyone has ever put me in a situation that's so cruel, but I couldn't believe she would do that after I spent 3 weeks all by myself moving a 30-by-10-foot storage unit. I was exhausted. Literally, I couldn't even move. Here's my question. Right now, I have no idea what I'm going to do. I'm just trying to stay calm, you know, out here at the beach, because I think they just want my storage units. They're one of those storage war kind of people. But what I decided I'm going to do, which ties into what you're saying, is I'm going to figure a way to get everything out of that storage unit. I have no money yet, but I know I can manifest this. But when I get everything moved out, I'm going to send her a dozen roses with a card that may you be happy. Now, a total response. So I don't know what else to do. I can't even imagine how someone could be that cruel to me. But people are hurting, like you say. And I did want to add one more thing that I was thinking about when you were talking about emotion. What I see, because I'm an older person, is that right now they are trying to eliminate human emotion. And that is something that is horrifying to me, because they already scaled down music, art, and science, the three things that give people passion and creativity and originality. And I see that people are they're forced to, like, act sedated or not emotional, like they're supposed to stuff all their feelings. And overly emotional people are being labeled as crazy people.
Or drama.
There are two occupiers in Los Angeles. One's an older lady and one is a not-so-old person, but they are both in the courts right now with their cases fighting against accusations that they are not mentally stable. And this is a tactic for attacking people in the New World Order. So it is they want to eliminate emotion. They want people to just not be emotional, because emotional people are unpredictable and uncontrollable, but our human emotions make us human. So I take great exception to people that are not, that are playing by these rules and saying, oh, this person, you know, they cry too much, or they're always so intense. That is what humans are. We are emotional beings. We're filled with energy. We are energy. We need to be energetic. not sedated from the fluoride in our water, the GMO in our food, all this technology around us, and there's just a lot of toxins, like you said. I yield.
And I think a lot of our power, Donna, is going to come from empowering women. And next week, this whole week, I'm going to be working on a package, a gift for women, from my heart to theirs. And it's going to be really informative. And I'm going to talk about the importance of vaginal health and vaginal exploration. And I'm going to talk about a lot of things that are taboo because I want to empower women in their being. Because how horrible that we've become disconnected from the place where we are created. Like, I want to teach women to literally strengthen their wombs, the place where they're growing the future generations. Because I want to see people being born with the most potential to be optimal. Like, that's where real change is going to come from. Empowering the people who are here so that they perpetuate that. You know what I mean? Like, have you heard about the study with the monkeys in the box and
the bananas?
And they spray them with water.
Yeah. I love that. Do you want to tell it to
you? You tell it. It's awesome. It's an awesome story.
Okay. Well, briefly, I don't know how much time. I don't know how long your show
goes.
You
got like
2 minutes.
Go.
Okay, 2 minutes. Okay, so there's a bunch of monkeys in a box, and they there's some bananas at the top of the box. So whenever a monkey reaches for the banana, he gets showered with water. And so after a while, the other monkeys don't want to get showered. So when a monkey goes for a banana, the other monkeys beat up the monkey going for the banana because they don't want to get showered with water. So after a while, all the monkeys know, don't go for the banana or we're going to get beat up. And so after a while, no one's going for the bananas and no one gets showered with water. So they randomly start trading out the monkeys that know this information with monkeys that don't know. So they add one monkey and that doesn't know. So the minute the monkey gets in the box, of course he goes for the banana. But the monkeys just start beating him up. There's no water involved. So one by one, the original monkeys are traded out for monkeys who know that if they go for a banana, they get beat up, even though none of them experience getting showered with water. Because before they could get to the banana, they always got beat up. So they just stopped. Is that the one you're talking about, right?
Yeah, so they were hindered before they didn't know why they were hindered, but they were, and then they just stopped trying for what was innate. They stopped listening to what was innate, and that is what's wrong with us. We cannot hear.
Yep.
Our minds and our hearts cannot hear each other, and it's my goal to teach you how to connect them. Next week, we're going to talk about how to do it specifically for a woman. I feel like if a woman is whole, she can perpetuate that to anybody if she comes in contact with her. So have an awesome week, you guys. We'll see you on Monday, same time. Donna, I'm going to text you right now. Have a good night.
Okay, thank you so much.
Have a good
night. Thanks for your good work. Much love.
Much love to you, Donna. Bye.
Okay, we'll see you guys. Great show. I'ma let 'em know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.